And then secondly, what are the signs of your coming in the end of the age? Now, in their mind, they may be thinking that that timing is the same, that when the temple's destroyed is when Christ will come also and it'll be the end of the age. In their mind, they may think that's the same time. But we now know that it's not the same time. The when shall these things be, when that temple would be destroyed, already happened. It happened about 37 years after Christ said it would. In 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. And Matthew does not, and we talked about this last week, Matthew does not record Christ's answer to that first question. When shall these things be? Christ does not, again, let me rephrase that. Matthew does not record Christ answering that question. All that Matthew records is the answer to the second question, what are the signs of your coming and the end of the age? Luke does make reference to Christ's answer to the first question. Doesn't specifically say when. It doesn't, in other words, Christ does not say, well, in 37 years is when that temple is going to be destroyed. But Luke does make reference to something that Christ said in this Olivet Discourse about Jerusalem being surrounded by armies and that the city would be destroyed and that the people would be scattered. That happened in 70 AD. Luke mentions that in this Olivet Discourse. Matthew does not mention that. Matthew simply addresses the answer to that second question. You may say, well, why? Why didn't Matthew give the answer to both questions? Remember, each New Testament writer had a purpose in writing. The things they included in their writings served their purpose. We've emphasized over and over again, Matthew's purpose in writing his gospel was to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. And again, the argument, the Jews said he could not be the Messiah because he did not establish the kingdom. Matthew's argument is he didn't establish the kingdom because you rejected him. As he comes now to this Olivet Discourse, Matthew is now going on and saying, now, you rejected him. He did not establish the kingdom because you rejected him, but he is coming again at the end of the age, and he will establish the kingdom. And so when they ask that question, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age, that's what Matthew zeroes in on because that serves his purpose in this gospel. He's telling his Jewish readers, you rejected him, he didn't establish the kingdom, but he is going to come again at the end of the age, and he will establish the kingdom. And so he explains, or he records Christ's answer to that question. What are the signs of your coming in the end of the age? Does that make sense? That's why he didn't really talk about, or he didn't record his answer to the first question, because it really wasn't fitting into Matthew's purpose in writing. The second question fit in perfectly with why Matthew was writing, and so he records that answer. So, as you begin in verse 4, we come to the signs of his coming in the end of the age. What are the signs of your coming in the end of the age? Again, we get ourselves in trouble when we start thinking rapture. This has nothing to do with the rapture. When the disciples asked that question, what are the signs of your coming in the end of the age, they knew nothing about the rapture. At this time. Later on that was revealed. Later on they understood that. But at this time, they knew nothing about the rapture. All they were thinking was kingdom. So when are you going to come and establish your kingdom? That's their question. And what are the signs of that coming in the end of the age when you'll establish your kingdom? And so this is not about the rapture. This is about the second coming. And again, just to refresh your mind, the sequence of events in the future, the next event to take place is the rapture when the church is caught up in the air to meet the Lord and we go back to heaven with Him. That then begins the seven-year tribulation period. The Antichrist will establish a treaty with Israel. 3.5 years into that 7-year tribulation, the Antichrist will break that treaty. And then that last 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation period is known as the Great Tribulation. Things will get even worse in that last half of that 7 years. And the armies of the nations will gather together against Israel. And Christ will come, the second coming, Christ will come. He'll set foot on the earth, which he does not do at the rapture. He'll set foot on the earth. The Battle of Armageddon takes place where Christ will indeed defend Israel from the armies of the nations. And as he destroys the armies of the nations, he then will indeed establish his kingdom, and he will rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That's the sequence of events. This is talking about the second coming, when he comes at the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the 7-year tribulation. And so the signs of your coming, it's not what we're seeing today, it's what's going to take place in the 7-year tribulation. These signs that he speaks of here are signs that take place in the tribulation period prior to his second coming. Now, that's not to say that we can't see some things today that are leading up to that. We certainly do see some of those things. But specifically, the signs that he's talking about here are the signs that will be taking place during the tribulation period, allowing Israel to recognize, hey, here are the signs. The Messiah is going to be coming. So we really need to understand that, or we get real confused as we go through this. And that's why I had you turn to Revelation 6, because we're going to be showing that the signs that Christ speaks of here are signs spoken of in the book of Revelation for the tribulation period, particularly the sealed judgments. So, the first sign of his coming, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So the first sign is many false Christ. There will be many who will say, I am the Christ, and they're going to be deceiving many. So the first sign is the deception of the many false Christ. The word deceive here is the word to be led astray, caused to wander. There'll be many false Christs. Now, have there been false Christs today? Sure there have. There's been false Christs throughout history, those who have claimed to be the Messiah. There have been some, even in our day, who have claimed to be the Messiah. But that claim of being the Messiah, the many false Christs, is only going to proliferate even more during the tribulation period. And so the sign of his coming is many false Christ. We have the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Now, 1 John talks about many Antichrists. There have been many who have claimed to be Christ and who have been against Christ. But there is the Antichrist spoken of in the book of Revelation. The word Antichrist, we use the word anti as the word against. So we think of the Antichrist as being against Christ. And the word in the Greek, anti, can mean against, but it can also mean in place of or instead of. And so the Antichrist is not just against Christ, but is instead of Christ. In other words, he claims to be God. He claims to be the Messiah. And therefore, he's the Antichrist. He places himself up instead of or in place of Christ. Now that makes him against Christ, so we can use that word anti in both ways, but we need to understand it's not just that he's going to be against Christ, but he's going to put himself in the place of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that, it says he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist, taking the place of the Messiah. The Messiah is the one who's supposed to be in the temple proclaiming himself to be God. But the Antichrist does that instead. 2 Thessalonians 2 also says that the Antichrist will come with awe deception. This speaks of the many antichrists who will deceive many. So we have the antichrist who is going to deceive many and who sets himself up as God and as the Messiah, but then there will be many others as well. That deception in verse 24 here of chapter 24 says again in verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So he says these false Christ, and even the false prophets he mentions here, they're going to do signs and wonders. The Antichrist is going to do some things that look like great miracles, to the point that even the elect would be deceived if possible. Now, God will protect them from that deception, but it would be that powerful of a deception. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the Antichrist coming with all deception. And then it says, God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe a lie, or believe the lie, literally. So there will be much deception. They will believe the lie. What's the lie? There in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says that God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie. What do you think the lie is?
That would be the Antichrist.
Okay, it's going to be the Antichrist. He'll be that part of that deception. What was the lie in the Garden of Eden? Pardon? All right, and what was the lie that Satan himself believed? He said, "I'm going to be like the Most High." And then he gets to Adam and Eve and says, "You'll be as God if you eat of that fruit." That has been Satan's lie throughout history. And I believe that's the lie that people will believe in the tribulation as well. And it's the lie that, you know, It's where we are today. People believe that they can be their own God. We don't need a God. We can be our own God. And that's the lie. And so there will be many false Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6 records for us the seal judgments. The seal judgments take place at the first 3.5 years of that tribulation period. They are severe judgments, but not as severe as the last 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years are the trumpet judgments and the seal judgments, and they're more severe than the seal judgments. The trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments will take place in the last half of the tribulation. The seal judgments are the first half of the tribulation. They're not quite as severe, but severe enough. But verse 1 of Revelation 6, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, Come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Some have read that, and because this individual is riding on a white horse, they think it's Christ. But as you really read that, and then as you continue down through the seal judgments, that can't be Christ. Later on, Christ is going to be on a white horse. He is going to come, and he's going to, and the sword will proceed out of his mouth. Later on in the book of Revelation, Christ is on a white horse. This is a false Christ on a white horse, wearing a crown, going forth to conquer, but it's a false Christ. And so the sign of many false Christ is seen in the first seal judgment, as that seal is open at the beginning of the tribulation period. Because I believe that first seal is a false Christ. Any questions? Comments, thoughts? Yes, Dave.
What did the disciples understand when he was telling them this? This is before the ascension. I mean, they had a
Yeah, they didn't fully understand this at the time. Later on, obviously, they started putting things together. And in fact, sometimes as you read the Gospels, a statement like that will be made, especially, I think, John in his Gospel will make a statement like, after his resurrection, then we understood his words. Yeah, they didn't fully comprehend it here. Again, like we said last week, when he came out and they start showing him the buildings of the temple, they evidently knew that something was up. They didn't fully understand what, but he had just said some pretty harsh things. He said, you know, your house is left unto you desolate, and I'm not going to be back until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. They knew something was up. And I'm sure when they went out, they were basically saying, look at this beautiful building. Of course, this temple to the Jewish people at that time was a sign of God's blessing, that they were very religious and God was blessing them for it. And so the disciples are saying, how can you be saying the things you're saying? Look at how God's blessed us. Look at this beautiful building. And then he says, well, it's going to be destroyed. And so now they're saying, well, okay, then what's going on? When are you coming? What are the signs of your coming in the end of the age? And so now he's telling them. But no, they didn't fully comprehend it, but more and more, as Christ talks to them, they're putting more and more together. Yes?
Matthew 23, verse 39, does this start the time of the Gentiles?
No, the time of the Gentiles began all the way back at the Babylonian captivity. Okay. And continues to this day. That's the time of the Gentiles. And will continue until the battle of Armageddon and Christ establishes his kingdom again and reigns from Jerusalem. So from the Babylonian captivity in 605 B.C., 596 B.C. is when the temple was destroyed, and from that time until the millennial kingdom is the time of the Gentiles. Any other questions? The second sign, verse 6, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And so the second sign is wars and rumors of wars. Nation rising up against nation, kingdom rising up against kingdom. Do we see wars today? Of course we do. There's been wars throughout history. But during the tribulation period will be even greater wars and greater fighting than what we're seeing today. Not going to take the time, but you know, when we think of the tribulation period, we think of that one great battle at the end, the Battle of Armageddon. We need to understand, as you study Scripture, there's a lot of battles and wars during the tribulation period. What Christ says here will take place, and we see that in the Old Testament especially. Some of those Old Testament prophets talk about the various battles and wars that are going to be taking place during that tribulation period. Nation is going to rise up against nation. So there will be many wars during that time. It will come to a head at the end of the tribulation with that battle of Armageddon, but there will be many wars leading up to that. And so the second sign that Christ speaks of here is the wars and rumors of wars, nation rising up against nation. There's a word in verse 6 that is kind of left untranslated from the original language, and it's left untranslated really in all of our translations because it's a word that is hard to translate into English. But it's in the original language, it's the very first word that appears in verse 6. And it's, for lack of a better way to translate it, it's a word that means certainly, or it is destined to be. And so it really says, certainly you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, or it is destined that you would hear of wars and rumors of wars. It's a word that just refers to the certainty of a matter, something that is definitely, most certainly going to happen. And that word is kind of left untranslated in our English because, again, there's not a real good English equivalent to the Greek word, but that's the concept. Certainly, it's destined to be. Absolutely, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Again, back to Revelation chapter 6. Verse 3, the second seal judgment. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So the second seal judgment is war. Second seal judgment is taking peace from the earth. Wars and rumors of wars, nation rising up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And so the second sign that Christ speaks of in Matthew is the second seal judgment in the book of Revelation. In verse 7 of Matthew 24, "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and then there shall be famines." The third sign that Christ speaks of is famines. Again, look at Revelation chapter 6. Verses 5 and 6. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, 'A measure of wheat for a denarius, and three measures of barley for a denarius, and see that you hurt not the oil and wine.'" That's speaking of famine, the high price of food. It speaks of the measure of wheat for a denarius and three measures of barley for a denarius. That's an extremely high price because of the famine that will be taking place on the earth at that time. And so as Christ speaks in the Olivet Discourse of one of the signs being famines, the third seal judgment is famine. Do you kind of get the drift of what's going on here? The signs that Christ is speaking of is signs at the beginning of the tribulation, the seal judgments. Next, he says there in verse 7, "Famines and pestilences." Now, if you have a New American Standard or an NIV translation, it doesn't have the word pestilences in there. There is some debate as to whether Matthew actually included the word pestilence here or whether that was added at a later date by one of the copyists of the manuscripts. It's very likely that in Matthew's original gospel, the word pestilence does not show up. However, in the Gospel of Luke, as Luke records the Olivet Discourse, he does include the word pestilence. So probably one of the copyists of one of the manuscripts at some point saw the word pestilence in Luke's account of the Olivet Discourse, and so he included it in Matthew's account. Probably was not in Matthew's original, but it got included by a copyist because he took it from Luke. Be that as it may, because it is in Luke, we can understand, okay, it is a word that Christ used. Pestilence would be another sign. Whether Matthew includes it or not is neither here nor there. It is a sign of his coming, pestilence. So, back to Revelation chapter 6. Notice verse 7, the fourth seal. "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hades, and followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth." Again, that seems to be pestilence. It says here that a fourth part of the earth is going to be killed. Some with the sword, it says, but also with hunger, with death. What's going to cause that death? Well, probably disease and pestilence. Death in Hades is the fourth seal. And so we have that as the sign of his coming. Back in Matthew, the next sign in verse 7 is earthquakes. Earthquakes. Again, back in Revelation chapter 6, you need to jump down to the sixth seal judgment, verse 12 of Revelation 6. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. That's quite an earthquake. And the kings of the earth and the great men of the and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So Christ says one of the signs is going to be earthquakes. And that sixth seal judgment is a great earthquake that the mountains themselves are moved. Are we seeing earthquakes today? Are they on the rise today? It seems to be. We can't necessarily say that it's specifically the sign of his coming, because that's going to be in the tribulation period, but we can see it building up to that. And so again, I'm not saying that those signs are being fulfilled today, but I'm saying we can see some things building up to what Christ is speaking of here. I'm going to come back to verse 8 in Matthew 24, but look at verse 9 first. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Persecution of the believers is going to be another sign of his coming. Again, are we seeing persecution day of believers? We certainly are. Is that persecution growing? It seems to be. And yet the fulfillment of this sign is going to be even at a greater rate during the tribulation period. And we know that throughout the book of Revelation, how the believers during the tribulation are going to be persecuted and many going to be martyred. And in fact, again, look at Revelation chapter 6. Look at verse 9, the fifth seal judgment. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So there's going to be martyrdom during the tribulation period, great persecution of the believers. And Christ said that's going to be one of the signs of my coming, when this great martyrdom and great persecution takes place of the believers. Yes, we can see it building up to that, but the actual fulfillment of it is yet to come in the tribulation period. That fifth seal judgment has to do with martyrdom. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So there's another sign. Again, you have the false Christ and you have the false prophets. And you have the Antichrist and you have the false prophet in the book of Revelation. Remember, you have the Antichrist himself, but then you have the false prophet that is partners with the Antichrist. And so there will be many false Christ and many false prophets, but there will be the one Antichrist and the one false prophet that really stands out among the others. Verse 12 is an interesting verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. The word iniquity there is the word lawlessness. There's going to be basically anarchy during the tribulation period. Lawlessness, anarchy. It's going to be a disastrous time. Let me go back to verse 8 then. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Your translation may say, all these are the beginning of birth pains. That is the word here, sorrows, is birth pains. You ladies could speak much more intelligently about this than I could, but as birth pains begin, they're not quite so severe. But as time goes on and you're about ready to deliver your child, those birth pains get worse. They get harder. They get more painful. That's what he's talking about here. In verse 8, he says, these are the beginning of birth pains. The seal judgments are the first 3.5 years. And it's going to be pretty severe judgment, but not near as severe as the last 3.5 years. And so these signs that he speaks of here are the seal judgments, which are the beginning of birth pains, but it's going to get worse. And we'll have to stop there tonight, but just look at verse 21. We're now at verse 21. We're at the middle of the tribulation, that first 3.5 years. And then verse 21 says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. At the middle of the tribulation, he says, then it's going to get to be a great tribulation, much more severe, with the trumpet and the bowl judgments. So we have the seal judgments, which are the beginning of the birth pains, but then we'll have the trumpet and bowl judgments, which will be more severe. We'll pick up with verse 13 next week, but I just want you to see the flow of things here. Any questions or comments? Dave? Yes. Yes. There will be those saved during the tribulation period because all believers at the rapture will be taken out. And yet it speaks of believers in the tribulation period. So obviously the only answer is that they got saved during the tribulation period. We know of the 144,000 witnesses, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel who will be saved and become witnesses for the Messiah. And then there will be those from every tongue, every tribe, every nation that will be saved during the tribulation. Many have questioned, will people have a second chance? In the sense of, you know, those who have heard the gospel today and reject it, will they then have another chance in the tribulation period to be saved? And I can't answer that. I don't know. Some say no. If you reject it now, you will not have a second chance in the tribulation period. That's where 2 Thessalonians says God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie. So if you've rejected it now, you will believe the lie then and will not trust Christ as your Savior. The ones who will trust Christ as their Savior in the tribulation period are those who have never heard the gospel before. That's what some say. I don't know. The scriptures to me seems to be silent on that. I don't know that 2 Thessalonians is conclusive enough to say that if you've rejected the gospel now, you're going to believe the lie then. I don't think, to me anyway, that that's conclusive enough. So if scripture's silent, like I've said before, if scripture's silent, I'm better off being silent too. So I don't know. I will say this. I wouldn't take my chances. If somebody says, well, I'll just wait until the tribulation, I would tell them, that's not worth the chance. That's not worth the chance. First of all, you could die before the tribulation. So there will be many saved. Who exactly will they be? from every tribe and nation. That's all we can say. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you again for our time together tonight, for your word, for its truth. Again, Father, we just rejoice that you know the end from the beginning and you have told us that which is yet to come. Perhaps not every single detail, but enough to know what is to come and enough to know that we have a hope in Christ and that you are in absolute control, and we thank you for that. Help us to be a faithful witness to those who do not know Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.